Awkward moments. Yes, you have, haven't you? I remember that, each Sunday after the service, I go out and greet people who come, and occasionally there are guests that come to be with us, and I don't know them, and I try to make some conversation and get to know them a little bit, and one Sunday, a couple came out of the service, and I introduced myself to them, and I said, oh, by the way, is this your daughter? And he said, no, this is my wife. Oh, I see. Where are you going to go to church next week? Now I have learned to rephrase the question. Are you two related? You can't lose like that. So John the Baptist was baptizing one day, and as he began to baptize, there were people that came to him. And as he did so and continued, there was one day when a man appeared on the horizon. And as he looked up, he recognized him as being Jesus the Messiah. And so he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, John the Baptist had been preaching repentance. And as he saw Jesus come in, I'm sure there was some uncertainty in his mind. And then Jesus said something that absolutely shocked him. He said, I want you to baptize me, John. Now, can you imagine the awkwardness of that particular moment? Here is John, who knew Jesus very well. Their mothers were pregnant at the same time. We know they both had had prophetic announcements of their birth. We know that they were cousins, so they knew one another. We know that they both would eventually die a violent death at the hands of their enemies. And so it was like, here is an individual that I have known and I recognize who he is, and he wants me to recognize him and baptize him. Can you imagine the awkwardness of that moment for John the Baptist? It would be as if I were preaching this morning and suddenly Jesus physically walked in and sat down on the second row. I think I would say, I think I'll take a pass today. Would you like to come up and share a few words? And so Jesus said, no, I want to be baptized. And as we read this passage, there are two questions that come to us. This is our great series of events of Christ. We're talking today about his baptism. Next Sunday, of course, we'll be talking about his birth. And then on the Sunday following Christmas, we'll be talking about his ascension. So today we want to concentrate on baptism of Jesus, a great event in his life. What does it mean? And what does it mean for us? So if you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, I would like to read this section for you. By the way, this narrative is found in all four of the Gospels, but I want to read just the passage from Matthew for you. In Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, whoa, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. There are some new translations of the Scriptures which help us get a deeper understanding of God's Word. And in this verse 13, I want to read a couple of those versions for you today. The first is the Message, and it says this, but Jesus insisted, do it. God's work, putting things right, all these centuries, is coming together right now in the act of baptism. The New Living Translation says this, but Jesus said, it must be done because we must do everything that is right. The New English Bible says, but Jesus said, let it be so, for we do well to conform in this way with all that God requires of us. In effect, Jesus is saying, listen, John, don't worry about it. Just do it. Because if you do, we will be in obedience to the Father. He will be well pleased with this. This will be pleasing in His sight. John was preaching a baptism of repentance. And as he went throughout the countryside, he was introducing a new concept to people. It was called the kingdom of God. And he said, do you want to be involved in the kingdom of God? And up until this time, the Jewish people felt like we are the only ones who are going to be involved in the kingdom of God. And the way that we get righteous, the way that we get accepted into the kingdom of God is by obeying the commandments and sacrificing at the temple and doing all of those things that the law requires. And John came up to them with something that was totally new and revolutionary and which shook them to the core. And he said to them, well, listen, I have come to bring you something new. It doesn't have to do with following the regulations of the old law. It has to do with being entered into the kingdom of God. And to do so, there must be repentance. He says, but if you are repentant of your sins, if you are sorry for those, as a symbol and as a sign of the fact that you are sorry for those, I am going to baptize you so that you can be accepted by God in the kingdom of heaven. And so when Jesus came to this, he was giving understanding to what John was doing of introducing something new and revolutionary. It wasn't about keeping the old covenant. It was about introducing a new covenant. Jesus began his ministry engulfed in water by being baptized. He ended his ministry engulfed in sin on the cross when he completed the transaction that enabled us to have eternal life. He began his ministry by being baptized. He ended his ministry by telling us, go and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The baptism of Jesus was in obedience to the Father's will. It was his acceptance of his destiny. One of my favorite subjects in high school, my wife knows this, was Latin. Any of you take Latin in school? One? What's the matter with you? Don't you take Latin in school anymore? And so my Latin teacher used to tell us these great and marvelous stories about Rome and about all the things that happened. And one of the stories that I never have forgotten is the one about Julius Caesar. And when Julius Caesar decided that he wanted to overthrow the Roman government and to become the emperor or the Caesar, he had a group of people around him who were his great army. And he came to the Rubicon River. And when he came to the Rubicon River, he knew that if he crossed over the Rubicon and began to assault Rome, then he would forever be marked man. And so he said in Latin, alia iacta est, the die is cast. He says, I have made my commitment, and now it's either I'm going to die or I'm going to be the Caesar. There is no turning back. When Jesus came before John to be baptized, he said, the die is cast. I am going to begin this journey of righteousness, this prophetic fulfillment. He said, I have come to fulfill all righteousness, this prophetic plan that God has for me to redeem mankind. And through his baptism, he began a journey that would lead to the cross, and eventually he would say, tetelestai, or it is finished, the plan is finished. And so his baptism was the seal of the covenant relationship between himself in God. It's the very opening scene of Jesus' public ministry. He is baptized. And he demonstrates that this singleness of purpose of this plan that he has between he and God is going to take obedience. God does not say to Jesus, I am well pleased that you aced the bar mitzvah test. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I'm well pleased that you're a master carpenter. He says, this is my son with whom I am well pleased, because he has, in his act of obedience and baptism, sealed the covenant relationship that we have together. He was baptized out of obedience to the Father to fulfill all righteousness. Now, let's talk about us. That's why Jesus was baptized. Why are you and I baptized? What does it mean to us? How does it affect our Christian life? Now, there's a lot of times when we discuss and maybe even argue about the mode of baptism and when one should be baptized and those kind of issues. We're not really going to get into that today. That can be another message. What we want to talk about today, and which I think most individuals understand, is that as a Christian person, we need to be baptized. We don't talk about this all the time. We don't emphasize it probably as much as we should. But most Christians agree it is very important that we are baptized. Why? Here is the key for understanding the purpose of baptism, and it's found in the baptism of Jesus. For Jesus, baptism meant, I am accepting my destiny. I am accepting my role as the Messiah. I recognize that in obedience to God, this is what He has asked me to do, and I am doing that. Now, when you and I are baptized, for our baptism, it means that we are accepting or committed to the Christian, are committed to be Christian people. For us, it is the beginning of a spiritual journey, a journey that would be a desire to have things different in our life. It says that just like John was preaching, there must first be preceded by repentance. We can't just come and say, I want to be baptized. It says, first of all, we have to say, am I willing to do what God is asking me to do? Can I walk in obedience? It's not something where we just say, I want to continue the same thing as I've always done, the same lifestyle, the same situation. It says, first, there must be a repentance. And as a sign of that repentance then we come into a relationship with Him. Baptism isn't a trial membership that we have in God. It's a rite of initiation into a life which God has promised to all of those who are obedient to Him. Sometimes we consider baptism the coronation or the goal, and we say, okay, I've done that, now what to do? But that isn't what the Bible teaches us. In Romans chapter 6, when it talks about baptism, it says, therefore we have been buried with Him in baptism so that we might rise to newness of life. Baptism is the beginning of our spiritual journey. It's not the end, it's the beginning. Baptism helps us to understand who we are in Christ. It changes our stinginess into selflessness. It changes our understanding of the people around about us and people who are difficult that we try to make an effort to be open and honest with. Baptism transforms groups of people into a family of God. Baptism transforms us into a family of brothers and sisters because we have both been baptized with the baptism with which Jesus was. Now, does all that happen when we're baptized? No. That's the beginning. No, those things are the kinds of things that we aspire to. Those are the things that Christian life should exemplify. But as we begin this process, we say, like the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the gospel that has brought to us peace and joy and happiness. And by my identification with Jesus in baptism, I am saying to you, I accept my responsibility to be committed to the cause of Christ. Second reason we should be baptized. Baptism is the good news that we have been included as part of the family of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, Paul says to us, by one Spirit, we have all been baptized into one body. There's only one body of Christ. We sometimes try to separate it by calling ourselves Methodists or Presbyterians or whatever, but there's only one body of Christ. It is the body of Christ of those people who have committed their lives to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There are some television shows that have high and great educational value for us. They cause us to do some deep thinking about life and what it means. Shows such as The Andy Griffith Show. You remember The Andy Griffith Show, those of you that are over 40? Okay. And you know, on The Andy Griffith Show, there's always a moral principle that eventually comes out as they mess around during the whole show doing some crazy and odd and unusual things. On one of those shows, the Women's Historical Society discovers that there is a descendant of a Revolutionary War hero that is living in the little town of Mayberry. Of course, they get all excited about that. Wow, we've got a celebrity here in our midst, and we need to find out who that celebrity is. And so they go through this big, long process of trying to discover who it is. And naturally, Barney says it's him, and Barney tries to manipulate the data so that it comes out to be him. But at the end of the show, we discover that the hero's descendant is none other than Otis. Now, you know who Otis is. You ever watch the Andy Griffith Show? He's the drunk. And so the people are in a quandary. What do we do about this? Maybe we could have a substitute Otis. Maybe we could just pretend there would be somebody else up there. And so finally they decide, well, we're going to have him step to the platform. And as Otis steps to the platform to accept this reward, he says this, and I quote, "Just because you're a descendant of a hero doesn't make you one. I would like to present this plaque to the town of Mayberry, to which I am proud just to belong." Now, the significance of that is this. God says to us, yeah, I know you got problems. Yeah, I know there's issues in your life you're struggling with. But when we are baptized into Christ, we're a family. And you know what a family does? A family puts their arms around one another when you fall. A family lifts you up when you're down. A family inspires you when you think you can't go on. I'm just glad I'm part of the family. Am I the most important member? No. But I'm just part of the family. Baptism initiates us into this great family of God. It helps us understand God's love. And long after this act of baptism is completed, this love helps hold us together. It allows us to disagree with one another and yet to love one another without deserting each other. The third reason is because it's a source of blessing. Jesus was blessed by God. And after he completed his baptism, it says that the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove, and that a voice from heaven crawled out and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Would you like to be blessed by God? Then walk in obedience, because baptism is a sign, it is an act of faith. And every time that we act in faith, God always blesses that. Now, I'm not saying he's going to make you rich or take away all of your problems, but whenever we act in faith, God always blesses that. And you know, I have never done this in my ministry, but after researching this message this week, I think it would be a wonderful thing for us to do, Chip, and that is this. After someone is baptized in our baptistry behind me, wouldn't it be wonderful to say to them, "This is what God thinks of you. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Thank you for your act of obedience. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. Thank you for your act of obedience." Can you just see God smiling down and looking at us and saying, "Wow. That's my boy down there. That's my daughter." Many of you came to this early service today because your children were up here on the stage. And when you looked at them, I will guarantee you this, there were probably 100 kids up here overall. You know which one you looked at? Yep, your son, your daughter. And when you looked at them, you know what you thought to yourself? "That's my boy. That's my daughter. That's my grandson. That's my granddaughter. That's mine," you know. When Jesus looks down at you in obedience, he says, "That's my boy. That's my daughter. You don't realize how much I love them." Baptism is the symbolism of our salvation event. It symbolizes what has already happened to us. Symbolism is important. Symbolism is a visual truth that helps us to understand an eternal truth. It's a visual sign. It's a means of blessing to us. It is something that we don't do to impress God, but we do it to impress upon our mind what has happened to us. It is very similar to the wedding ring that we have. The wedding ring doesn't make us married. It reminds us that we are married. The wedding ring is a symbol that we can look at that says, "I have pledged my faithfulness to my spouse. And even when I'm away from them, I recognize this." Baptism is a symbol of our salvation event. When we walk into the baptismal pool, it is as if we are saying, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I recognize, even by keeping all the Ten Commandments, I'm not going to be right with God, but I need to repent and ask God to forgive me of my sins. And therefore, when we do that and we proclaim, have you accepted Christ by faith as your personal Savior? Yes, I have. That means that our sins are forgiven, and as a sign and a symbol of that, we bury you in the water, symbolizing the burying of the blood of Christ, and we don't keep you down, we always bring you back up, and we bring you back up again, and when we bring you back up again, we fulfill Romans 6:4 that says, therefore we have been buried with you in baptism, and now we rise to walk in newness of life. Water baptism isn't some magic formula or ritual that makes you right with God. It is a testimony of what has happened in your life. Some of you need to be baptized. I don't know who you are, but some of you have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and you've never been baptized. That baptism that you will do is a sign of obedience to God. It's a sign of your commitment to be a Christian person. It's a sign that says, I want to identify with the people of God, just like Jesus identified with the plan that God has for his life, and I want to walk in newness of life. Father, we love you today. I want to thank you for my friends that have gathered here this morning. We've been overjoyed as we've seen the kids, and we've heard them sing, and we've watched as they have done the actions and repeated the verses of Scripture and sung with their hearts. It has just given us great joy. And we imagine, Father, that when we are baptized, you look down on us in the same way. And you say, wow, I am so proud of my son, my daughter. I am so thankful they are walking in obedience to me. I'm so proud that they've made this commitment to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm never going to leave them nor forsake them. I'm going to help them on this pathway, this journey of life. I'm going to give them that which resources they need in order to be successful. I'm going to surround them with my presence and my love. I'm going to help them as they reach out to the people around about them. And Father, I want to thank you for those who have committed their lives to Christ. And for some right now, Father, who are trying to decide, is this the right thing for me? Would you, through your Holy Spirit, just speak to them in ways that I can't? Would you impress upon them their need to be scripturally baptized? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.